I want you to get up now. I want all of you to get up out of your chairs. I want you to get up right now and go to the window, open it, and stick your head out and yell, I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
Listen on, you motherfucker.
Politics, politics, humor, humor, tequila, tequila, and an IQ of under 64. Yeah. You're listening to Art Cop Radio, 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 Radio.
Hi, my name is Bart. Welcome to Show 59, Bart Cop Radio. Seen on BartCop.com, heard on the Bart Cop Radio Networks. Glad you could join us today. We got a bunch of good stuff for you, but I got to start out by saying, you know, it's too bad. Wednesday, the day after the election, I was hoping to get a whole bunch of emails saying, Bart, you idiot. Kerry won in a landslide. What were you worried about? For the last 6 months, you've been screaming at the poor guy to stand up and do something, to get in the race, to somehow begin the fight, Bart. Every day you were screaming at him to do that. And the man won in a landslide. What's wrong with you, Bart? You were so out of the mainstream. You so don't know what's going on. What's wrong? But no, I didn't get any mail like that. Matter of fact, I don't know that I got any of the other mail saying, all the time you were right, Bart. Jesus, it would have been nice if Kerry would have gotten out of bed and gone to work one or two days during that 8-9 month period. But I guess, like Dick Cheney, I guess he had other priorities, Senator Kerry did. And that's kind of sad, but are we going to let the situation get us down? No, we can't, because we can't afford to. We're going to fight back a little harder. We're going to come up with little sharper jabs for the now once elected monkey. God, how am I going to get out of the habit of saying the unelected monkey? You know, and to some degree, he still may be the never elected monkey, because we don't know for sure. You know, this voter fraud stuff, there's a lot of mumbling. I wish somebody with some gravitas would grab this. You know, there's either some evidence or there's not. You know, somebody like Joe Connison or Eric Alterman or Molly Ivins or Helen Thomas, if one of the big guns would say, hey, I've got the proof in my hand. But, you know, we're getting a lot of this. My cousin Eddie knows a guy who used to work at the precinct, and he says that he heard a rumor. Well, see, none of that's evidence. What we need is hard, hard evidence. I heard a little bit of something on Air America Radio today where some guy said there was more votes cast for president than there were eligible voters. Now, see, that would prove something. But again, I don't know if Air America Radio has the gravitas to pull that off. They might be able to break a story. I don't know. To my knowledge, they have yet to break a story. But somebody big, if we have real proof, we can get it to somebody big. So anyway, in that regard, we still got us perhaps a never-elected monkey. But if only we could have got a little fire out of our candidate. But hey, that's water under the bridge. We're going to try to do better in 2008. Oh, please, Koresh, let us do better in 2008. We think we got a pretty good show for you today. Last couple of shows, we did our best. We had the out-of-town show, and then we had the quickie show. We had to get up right away for the election. And this is kind of a regular show in that we get back to some of the what we think we can do best. So let's start off. Let me see. What do I do to start off? Oh, yeah. Shout out to Chinako. Oh, that's mas fina. That's how they say real good in Spain. Okay, so we got a lot of good stuff. I know we're going to have the Mike Malloy reaction to the election. We're going to have the Randy Rhodes reaction. And when I say reaction, we're going to give you the first 5 minutes of each before they had a chance. I mean, I guess they had a chance to digest the election before they got to the studio, but this is their first on-air words. We got some of that. You're going to hear a little bit from Tommy. Got a little bit of winners and losers for the last couple of weeks. Got a little bit of this, got a little bit of that. Think you're going to like it. Let's go. Big, big show.
This is www.bartcop.com.
Everybody knows the dice are loaded. Everybody rolls with the fingers crossed. Everybody knows that the war is over. Everybody knows that the good guy's lost. Everybody knows the fight is fixed. The poor stay poor and the rich get rich. That's how it goes. Everybody knows the boat is sinking. Everybody knows that the captain lied. Everybody's got this broken feeling. Like the mama or the daughter.
dog just died. Everybody's hands are in their pockets. Everybody wants a box of chocolates and a long stem rose. Everybody knows.
But let's talk a little bit about the election. Campaign hindsight is also 2020, says Jill Lawrence, USA Today. Subheadline, thoughts vary on how 2004 could have been. In the last months of the campaign, John Kerry revamped his staff, adopted an aggressive attitude, and turned in three impressive debate performances. But the improvements were overdue. Boy, you got that right. And the odds were stacked against him. Well, he knew that before he started. So what we really have here is their improvements were way overdue. Does anyone know why Kerry just took the summer off? Does anyone have a clue? I know you're tired of me asking that, but it just would be so fulfilling to get an answer. Here the man had a chance to change history and change the course of the planet and change the direction America was going and all that, and he decided to take the summer off. I mean, you know, it's like if they were going to execute you if you didn't know the plan, wouldn't you spend the summer working on the plan? Or would you take the summer off and think, I'll study in August, September? Or no, he didn't do anything in August. I'll study in September. I just don't think you'd do that. It's almost as though Kerry didn't take any of this seriously. Every time I saw him on a skiing down the mountain or on that stupid-ass, you know, that surfboard could have cost us the election. It's just real possible. The political landscape in some ways seemed to favor Kerry. Important electoral states had suffered job losses during Bush's term. Millions had lost health insurance. Post-war Iraq was a cauldron of chaos and violence. Democrats were still outraged over the 2000 election. By the final weeks, there was a drumbeat of bad news for Bush, from flu shot shortages to missing explosives in Iraq. Well, you know, the flu shot and the missing explosives, you know, the media just did everything they could to help Bush. They just did everything they could. When Bush said it's Clinton's fault that we got a flu shortage, everybody said, yep, that's right, that damn Clinton, he hurt us again. Even though, again, it happened on Bush's watch, 4 years into Bush's watch, it happened, and he still blames Clinton, and the press says, yep, that's right, that's a fact. Show me something in the press that said, no, W, this is your deal. You're driving the boat. You ran it aground. Don't be blaming this on somebody else. Explain yourself, Mr. President. This is your situation. But nobody said that, because there's nobody who will write the truth. They're all getting paid to look the other way for the monkey. And the missing explosives, same thing. Oh, we already destroyed those. Oh, the Russians took it. Oh, here's another. Oh, there never were any. I mean, they had 15. You know, it's something else. This administration, they get caught lying. You know, it's one thing to get caught lying, but they get caught with lie A, so they switch to lie B. And then they get caught, and so they switch to lie C, and then they get caught. And by the time they come up with excuse D, it's like, oh, come on, I'd rather have a beer with W, let's get off the subject. I don't know how he gets away with it. Kerry tried to take advantage of it all, but he was up against history. Bullshit. He was up against a press that wouldn't report the facts. Plus, he rarely, if ever, mentioned this. Surely there was a time in a speech where he mentioned, like, the explosives and that. But Kerry, I never, ever once, the entire campaign, I never, ever once heard him use the hammer. If he would get up there and say, Mr. Bush, where are the explosives? And then the next speech, Mr. Bush, where are the explosives? The next speech, Mr. Bush, where are they? I promise, next day in the headlines, or the next day in the paper, the headline would be, Kerry says, Bush, where are the explosives? And everyone's going to look at Bush and say, well, excuse me, sir, but there's a question on the floor. Can you answer that? But Kerry just never would do that. Why didn't Kerry know that? Why didn't Bob Shrum know that? Why didn't that Mary Beth Cahill? Why doesn't anybody know that when you make a point, like Rush, when he makes a point, Bill Clinton peed on the graves of our soldiers in Arlington when he sold the graves for 50 cents apiece to hundreds of thousands of people, and then it turns out it was one guy who lied about being in the service, so they dug him up. But Rush pounded on that story, even though it was untrue, again and again. It was like him and Ollie North, and back then it was only Rush and Ollie North and G. Gordon Liddy and a couple others. This is before the wall-to-wall Republicans everywhere, but they pounded on it for a month or 2 months. They just pounded on it, and by the end of the day, you're thinking, you know, I like Bill Clinton, but I hate the way he sold out our heroes at Arlington, you know, because when you hammer a point home, that's what it does. It drills that idea into your head. It takes a spike, and you beat on it long enough, and it goes right through your brain, and all of a sudden, it's part of your brain. The bad news, the The wrong story, the false story, is part of the language, is part of the, quote, facts. But our side just refuses or doesn't know how to hammer a point home. No wartime president has ever lost. When people are fearful, they become risk-averse, says Kerry's pollster, Mark Melman. Well, way to go, Mr. Melman. Doesn't this set the precedent that if you think you're going to have trouble getting elected, just start a bloody expensive quagmire and they won't abandon you during the middle of it? What an incredibly stupid precedent to set. It's like, well, we got to support the troops in the field now. We got to come up with the money and the support and all that because they're in the field. It's like, well, that gives the president the idea that even though I don't have the support, I'll put the troops in harm's way and then they have to support them. Well, that's just a bad precedent to set. You don't want to have a situation where Bart's Law number two, if you screw up and profit from it, expect that person to screw up again and again and again because they want more profit. If the president gets higher poll numbers every time he puts troops in harm's way, he's going to do that constantly, and that's kind of what Bush did. He had the highest poll numbers of his whole history right after 9/11, after the biggest screw-up in all of presidential history. Well, I don't know. I guess 9/11's bigger than Iraq, but, you know, it was the biggest fuck-up ever, and his approval rating went to 90% because he fucked up. Now, where is the logic in that? And same with Iraq. We can't abandon the president during the war. Well, he started the war on his own for no damn reason. Got all those soldiers killed. Thousands of families now. Daddy's not coming home, but that's okay. Bush got his orders from God, so we accept it. That's just crazy. What's wrong with America? In the first presidential campaign after the 9/11 attacks, despite Kerry's insistence that he was the safer choice, the public consistently preferred Bush to handle terrorism. And Bush's overall job approval ratings, while not stellar, were much higher than those that preceded his father's loss in 1992. Well, that's a worthless sentence. There were, of course, many factors Kerry could have shaped. They included a convention some Democrats say did not make the case against Bush or for Kerry. Now, is that a true statement? Hell yes. My gosh, I don't know so much about the for Kerry, but the idea that we're going to have the public's attention for four nights and we're not going to say a bad word at all about the giggling murderer. Mr. Kerry, what kind of idiotic sense did that make? Failure to effectively counter ad attacks on his character. Yes, he definitely failed to do that. Why, Mr. Kerry? You're a war hero, you still got shrapnel in your ass, and when they said you were a dirty lying coward, you just sat there and took it. What is wrong with you? I mean, I know you're a Democrat. I know that's how you've been trained. I know that a Democrat is supposed to sit there and wring his hands and, well, oh no, what are we going to do when you attack? But, geez, don't you have to have some memories of Vietnam. You talked about in your speeches, you talked about when the trouble came, you steered your boat into it. Well, why didn't you do that this time? Did you forget how to steer, Mr. Kerry? All we wanted was a little fight out of you. Why couldn't we get some fight out of you, Mr. Kerry? Lack of a crisp, consistent message for much of the season. Well, yeah, that's real true. Something as simple as, you know, America's drowning. I can be the life preserver. I mean, that's kind of corny, but at least it says something. Kerry a couple times said something about we're going to change the direction, but that's not very damn specific. Bush said he was going to change the direction, too. Look what that got us. Jeez, that drives me crazy. For 4 years now, we got to put up with that illegal murderer going to kill so many more people and invade so many more countries. How many military dead are we going to have by the time Bush leaves office? Is it going to be 5,000, 10,000, 50,000? We just have no clue. But we know Bush is on a mission from God, and we got that whole scary thing about Israel, about the second coming can't happen until Israel's dead. So I think Bush sees it on his watch that Jesus is coming. And if Israel's got to die, then, well, yeah, we better have our underground shelters built together and a whole bunch of food, and don't forget the can openers and the fresh water. Relying too much on turnout rather than attracting a broader swath of voters. Well, I don't know. Don't know if that's true or not. Seemed like he was always, that was part of the reason why he didn't attack, is because he was afraid it might turn off somebody. Well, funny, when Bush attacked, nobody got turned off. They loved it. Why is that? Why does it always, see, that gets down to the, oh, don't be mean, Democrats. Everybody hates that, but when the Republicans are mean, everybody loves it. So we end up losing again. Oh, that's so sad. You know, for years I've been able to say how the Democrats won the last three popular votes in the presidential elections. Now we can't say that anymore because Kerry went to sleep. Why did you do that to a senator? You destroyed my little radio spiel. You destroyed one of my foundations here at TheBartCop.com. I can't say that anymore because you didn't want to come to work, Mr. Kerry. Kerry did try to reach beyond the Democratic base. He talked about killing people in war as a soldier, putting people in jail as a prosecutor, committing himself to fiscal discipline from the start of his Senate career. But as exit polls showed, Kerry never was able to bridge the culture divide between those who own guns and those who don't, those who attend church regularly and those who don't. Well, hey, you know, I got an idea. The sad news, we're going to make the same mistake next time. In the 2008 campaign, if the candidate's a man, a couple days or a couple weeks before the election, they're going to put the idiot in a duck suit, and he's going to go stand in the woods with a shotgun with his fucking duck suit on so some photographer can take his pictures to pretend like he's a gun owner. Well, hey, I got an idea. Why don't we run a gun owner instead of pretending? And don't tell me how Kerry might have been a gun owner. Why did he? You could tell that was a brand new monkey suit he got over at Walmart to go hunting in for his first damn time. And it looks so stupid. Jesus, we might have won this election if they had just known how to, if they had just kept Kerry out of these monkey suits again. And then I'm counting the windsurfing as a monkey suit, snowboarding down the mountain as a monkey suit, that idiotic thing he put on for NASA was a monkey suit, throwing a football. I never did get that picture on the page, but that picture of Kerry throwing the football, you know, like when a pitcher throws a ball in Major League Baseball and you get a still shot of it, how extremely weird it looks because it's like, my God, does the human body even do that? Well, that's how Kerry looks when he throws a football. He doesn't look like a quarterback. He looks like some weird guy, you know, with his, he had one leg sticking out to the right like he's going to make a right turn or something. Why do you do that? Why do you subject your candidate to that? Why do you make him, you know, something else? If I was running for an office president or whatever, and they said, well, Bart, the way this works, you go to New Hampshire and you flip pancakes. You put on a chef's hat and a big-ass bib, and you flip pancakes over at Bob's Pancake House. I'd say, fuck you, I'm not going to Bob's Pancake House. I mean, I might drop by, but I'm not going to put on a damn apron and a stupid hat and flip burgers so some asshole can take my picture. Who cares if the president can flip a fucking pancake? I know I don't. There's this template to where all the candidates have to do X and Y. Well, if I was running, I wouldn't do that. I might lose, but I'll be damned if they're going to say, oh, here comes Bart in another monkey suit every time I made an appearance. What is wrong with people? Bob Schrum and Mary Beth Cahill, I hope you guys need to get different jobs, especially Schrum. I mean, I think Cahill screwed up, too. Well, apparently Cahill was the boss, and Schrum kept coming up with the idea that, oh, don't attack. Whatever you do, don't attack. You got to lay there like a woman and take it. Don't ever attack. Don't you ever once raise your voice. Don't you ever raise your hand. Oh, no. Attacking is bad. Fighting back is wrong. Thanks, Bob. Did you get a check from the Bush administration, Bob? And as far as those who attend church regularly and those who don't, it's real hard to win an argument with a religiously insane person. The idea that Bush killed 100,000 innocent Iraqis and he's a man of God, that just drives me nuts. I, Bart Kopp, am much closer to, am much more of a Christian than George Bush is. Have I ever murdered anybody? No, I never have. Have I ever invaded someone else's property and stole it? No, I never have done anything like that. But because Bush says I'm a Christian, and somehow he's got a payoff for the Christian people, you know, he gets Falwell and Robertson up there and that kind of shit, and they go through all that, you know, charade. Oh, and then remember at the very end where Pat Robertson said Bush told him there would be no bloodshed in Iraq, that we would be have no casualties, America would have no casualties in Iraq? Well, either one of them was lying or one of them's crazy, and boy, I'd hate to pick out between Robertson and Bush which one was crazy. But yeah, the idea with the guns, you liberals, you guys kill me, you know that. This idea that, oh my God, it's a gun, we got to run and hide. You got to knock that off. We're not ever going to win an election again. If they can get away with calling us a bunch of gun grabbers, we're trying to take their guns, we're not going to get any votes south of Virginia, and we're not going to get any votes west of the Mississippi until we get to the coast. That's just pretty much what Kerry got. He got the West Coast, parts of the East Coast, and a few of the Michigan, Upper Peninsula, Great Lakes states, but that's all. And a whole lot of that's got to do with guns. You liberals that say guns are poison kills us at the polls. Owning a gun is not a bad thing. Going crazy with a gun is a bad thing. But, you know, you can go crazy with a car, you can go crazy with drugs, you can go crazy with a pool cue, you can go crazy with a lot of things. So the thing itself is not bad. Now, we get into that same gun argument. Now, machine guns, bingo. See, now you got a problem. You know, we've had this argument before. The gun nuts try to tell me, well, gee, Bart, you can kill a guy with a butter knife. Well, yeah, but you can't kill 25 high school students in Columbine with a butter knife, because after you kill the first one, the next three are going to jump you, because you can't stab four or five people at a time. But if you got an automatic weapon, yeah, you can wipe out a classroom in a couple of seconds, so knock that off. I'm not sure voters really knew John Kerry as somebody who was a hunter, even though he was, or somebody who went to church regularly, even though he does, said Al Fromm, CEO of the DLC. Well, that whole going to church stuff ought not to matter. I know it does. There are some people, you know, here's a surgeon who's an agnostic that can take the, you know, aneurysm out of your daughter's brain, and we got a good Christian doctor over here who generally works on children's feet. Which do you want to work on your daughter's brain? I mean, it comes down to that, but... You know, rule number one, I've said it for centuries, go back and read the back issues, voters are idiots. There's hardly anything stupider in this whole world than a voter. Because a voter's a natural, you know, it's an American citizen, and most people are effing idiots. They just don't have a clue in a thousand what they're doing. They see someone else do it and they follow. Most of the world is followers. They just sit there and wait for someone else to do something. You know, it's like the house is on fire. But I ain't gonna do nothing. Well, hey, look over there. That fellow's getting up and leaving. Maybe I should do that. Nobody can think to leave the burning house by themselves. They're all waiting for someone else to do it. Everybody is sheep. Al Fromm and Paul Begala say the problem is more the parties than Kerry's. They said it is the second presidential election in a row that the Democrats were the wrong end of the culture divide. Now here, you know, I like Paul Begala, but here is something really, really, really stupid that Paul Begala said. Quote, Democrats need to take a hard look at how they relate to middle-class voters on social and cultural values, Begala said. Paul, you just wasted my time. What the hell? That is absolutely meaningless. We need to take a hard look at it. What the hell does that mean, Paul? If you got something to say, fucking say it. Don't tell us to take a hard look at something. Tell us what we're supposed to fucking see. It's like a Rorschach test. The guy said, well, look at it harder. Well, fuck you. I'm looking at it. I don't see a goddamn fish. If you see a fish, tell me. Say, yeah, there's a fish. Here's the head, and here's the tail, and here's a fin. Don't tell me look at a Rorschach test and look harder. Fromm said the need to find a way to erase the weak on defense rap. Hey, President Bart would erase that. And you know another thing. Are we getting penalized for having a brain? I think we are. Remember the whole deal with 1980. Reagan said, by God, they're not going to do anything. They won't be messing with us when I'm president because I'm just nuts enough to launch on them. And it's like, well, yeah, he is just enough, you know, nuts enough to launch on us. It seems like we are being penalized for being slow to react to force. I mean, a guy steps on your toe, do you shoot him dead? Or do you say, hey, dude, off my toe. Are you supposed to sit there in silence? Maybe he'll walk on you a second time? I mean, there's lots of ways to respond to a guy stepping on your toe. But the Republican way of replying is like Joe Pesci in Goodfellas about, you're late with my drink, I'll fire 6-8 shots into your chest. You won't be late with my drink next time. But isn't that crazy? You think America's getting smarter? You know how as the human being evolves, we realize that maybe violence isn't the answer to every single problem. But to the throwback knuckle-dragging Republicans, violence is a good thing. If you don't like the war in Iraq, there's something wrong with you. They say that helped them win this election. They say that idiot Schneider, what's his name? William Schneider on CNN, he said before the returns came in election night, this is like 7, 8 o'clock, he was saying, the biggest thing in this election, the biggest factor is the Iraq war. 48%, 49% loved the war, and 44% said it was a bad thing. How do you fight that when people love a war? And sure, if Mexico invaded us and we had to go kick some Mexican ass, yeah, I can see you might, you know, rah, rah, go team in that respect. But the idea that our insane president sees a country he doesn't like, so he's going to fabricate a reason why we have to invade it and kill 1,000 soldiers and 100,000 of them, and that's a good thing? How the hell does that make any sense? Okay, surveys of voters leaving the polls Tuesday showed 15% said Iraq mattered most to them, and Kerry got 75% of their votes, which is surprising since Kerry said he was for the war. On the other hand, Kerry's long, confusing series of votes and statements on Iraq gave Bush an opening to paint him as a waffling political opportunist who'd say anything he thought people would want to hear. Now we need to talk about that. You know, obviously John Stewart was on our side. I read a thing where they said John Stewart was pretty partisan on his show. He is not. He is 90-10 Democrat. And anyone who thinks otherwise needs to have a long talk with me to make the point, because it was funny. I mean, it was funny in a it's killing us kind of way. Probably 10 or 12 times, John Stewart would feature Kerry on a show where he would say, kind of like my old joke, you know, Senator, would you like ketchup or mustard on your burger? Oh, well, various parts of the country, some people like mustard, some people like ketchup. Oh, you know, Kerry can do 45 minutes on do you want ketchup or mustard on your burger? And that's just stupid. Why the hell can't you answer a question yes or no? I know sometimes it's dangerous for a politician to answer a yes or no question because they set up a funny question. And when if you say sure, then the headline next day, Bart Cop says yes to this wild scenario. So you have to be careful with just a yes or no answer. But Kerry could turn anything into a 45-minute answer. And that just killed him with the voters. What's wrong with you, Mr. Kerry? And worst of all, we knew this back in March, April, May. Why didn't someone sit down and say, John, you're going to have to concentrate. You're going to have to build some walls in your brain now. When someone asks you a question, you're going to have to think for a second what your answer is. You're going to have to think how to shrink that answer down to 10 words or something. You can't be given some 2,000-word answer to, would you like some ketchup on your damn hot dog? But no, he just kept screwing it up again and again. And like I say, John Stewart kept making fun of it. And you would think someone on Kerry's staff would go to him and say, you know, Senator, every night, John Stewart's making a joke out of how you can't answer a question, and if he's doing it, that's probably the reason the people in the audience laugh at a joke is because, yeah, I see that too. I agree. That makes sense. I saw him ramble on the other day, and you're right. He does go on and on like that. That's what happens when a guy like John Stewart gets a laugh. So why didn't someone go to Kerry and say, sir, your speaking style is becoming a joke. You're going to have to come up with some kind of way to answer the catch-up question in under 2,000 words. Can you do that, Senator? And if he says, no, I can't do that, then he should have bowed out of the race back in May and let Edwards or somebody else take over because it just became a running joke. I don't mean to attack Kerry personally, but if you've got some giant faults that can't be corrected and the other side is taking advantage of those faults, one of the biggest reasons Kerry lost was that he was painted as a flip-flopper. Whether it's true or not, he got painted with that. And part of that is because he couldn't answer a direct question. Whenever you asked him anything, you better have gone to the bathroom and got a drink first because you're going to be here for a long, long time. And that cost him. And if somebody on the staff would have just told him, please, John, learn how to answer a question. But no, they failed to do that. Continuing. Kerry's Iraq problem started nearly from the moment he voted in October 2002 to authorize the use of force there. Some Democrats were dismayed. If he had put his life's experiences into this vote, he would have come out against the war, said Dan Payne, a Boston media consultant who handled three of Kerry's four Senate races. You're either for the war or not. Maybe you've heard Randy Rhodes explain. It takes even Randy Rhodes, who is as fast a talker as you're going to find on this planet, it takes her maybe 4 minutes to explain the nuance that Kerry had. It takes Kerry 4.5 months to explain the nuance, but Randy Rhodes could do it in 4.5 minutes. But you ought to be able to explain yourself in shorter time than that. Oh, and by the way, Kerry never did explain that. I don't think I've ever heard Kerry explain the difference between the 75 million he voted for and the 75 million against. He could have very simply said it had to do with how the 75 million was getting paid for. I wanted it to come out of the super billionaires' pockets, and Bush insisted to come out of your pocket, Mr. and Mrs. Voter, watching this here with me tonight. He would never say anything near that clear. Why, oh why, Mr. Kerry, did you do this to us? But David Wade, Kerry's campaign spokesman and longtime Senate aide, said Kerry was being true to himself and his conviction that authorizing force was the only way to get the weapons inspectors back to Iraq. I decided to vote as if I were president, not as if I were running for president, Kerry told Wade. Well, great. Kerry handed Bush a weapon with two later votes, for $87 billion to fund post-war Iraq and a bill that rolled back high-end tax cuts to offset the spending, and against the $87 billion bill that did not offset the spending. Bush skewered Kerry to the end as a flip-flopper who didn't support the troops. And again, why didn't Kerry simply say, Mr. Bush, not only did I support the troops, I was one. I took bullets. Where were you when it came time to support the troops in the 70s, Mr. President? Where were you? You were guarding Guadalajara or somewhere, drunk on your ass with a nose full of cocaine and some young girl wrapped around you. Well, I was being shot at. Don't tell me I don't support the troops. I am the troops. You're not supporting the troops. But no, that's a little too clear for Kerry to say. Kerry's convention, a succession of veterans, retired military, photogenic relatives, and party stars, all instructed to keep the gloves on, seemed to work at the time. Says who? Apparently Jill Lawrence thinks so of USA Today, who wrote this. I didn't think it worked at the time. We were all waiting for the hammering to start. The way I remember it, the word came out like 2-3 days before the convention. How'd that work? Everybody had their script approved except Jimmy Carter. And Jimmy Carter came out with some of the blazing guns. Now, Jimmy Carter is not a blazing gun guy, but when everybody else is handcuffed and gagged, yeah, Carter comes across as a lion instead of a mouse. Jill Lawrence of USA Today said that keep the gloves on seemed to work at the time, but Simon Rosenberg, president of the centrist New Democrat Coalition, called it a disaster. They didn't tell a story about how the country was going well in the 90s, but Bush screwed it up and Kerry would fix it. Now see how simple that is? Things were great in the 90s. Bush got here, and look at your life now. It is such shit to live with now. I can take you back to the Democratic principles that gave us the prosperity in the 90s. That is so easy to say. Kerry could have said it. He just refused to plain speak. What they sold to the American people was a war hero, a veteran. It wasn't enough. That is true. Republicans didn't make the same mistake. They hammered at the idea that Kerry was a weak waverer who could not be trusted to keep the nation safe, and that came after a month of independent ads attacking his Vietnam service. Again, Kerry stood there and let those Swift Boat guys beat him to death, and not one time did you ever hear one word out of Kerry saying, that's not true, that's a bunch of horseshit, that guy that's making these stories up, it's being financed by Bush and these lying bastards that have hated me for 30 years. They decided to make this shit up, and Bush is paying for it, and I'm not going to stand for it. No, he didn't say anything like that. By the beginning of September, he had lost the national security gains from his convention and was dropping in national polls. The beginning of September is when he started to fight back after an entire summer of sleeping on the job. We talk about Bush being AWOL. Mr. Kerry, where were you this summer when we were looking for a candidate? By the beginning of September, he had lost the national security gains from his convention and was dropping in national polls. As party VIPs went public with their frustration, as did BartCop.com, seasoned hands who had earlier refused to leave their private sector jobs enlisted. In other words, once Kerry got in so much trouble and was so far behind from inaction and sleep, some help started to arrive. Kerry was never quite the central casting candidate his resume and appearance suggested. He would be brilliantly cogent or long-winded and convoluted. He could fire up crowds or drain their energy in mere moments. But he raised a ton of money, worked hard, and vindicated his reputation as a good closer. Oh, did he? He's known as a good closer because he lost? Saw a political cartoon showed Kerry closing up shop. They talk about what a good closer he was. Yeah, he's taking down the Kerry for President signs. That's a good closer. Democrats seem inclined to give him credit for coming so close to a goal they now say was daunting. Bullshit. Bush was the most beatable candidate in all of history. All you had to do was point out some of the hundreds of things he did wrong and lied about. It was so easy. You know, I halfway kid about why didn't they just ask old Bart, but I guarantee if I was in the room, I would raise the subject. Excuse me, sir, but don't you think that's coming off as a bit pink tutu, the way you just lay there and let them kick your ass for months at a time, sir? You don't think I would have mentioned that to him? Does nobody in the Democratic Party have any kind of sense to speak up when they're being attacked? That's just so confusing to me. I don't see myself as a normal Democrat or a perfect Democrat or any of that, but if you kick at me, I'm going to kick back. I'm probably going to kick back twice as hard. I've gotten in some trouble, lost some friends over that. Some friends give me some good-natured, hey, fuck you, asshole, why don't you learn, you know, grow up and learn to do it right, and all, and I come back slapping, and I've lost some friends that way. And I didn't mean to. I got a temper. I'll admit it. I think all presidents should have a temper. Kerry didn't have a temper. That's why he's not president, because he just took it. Every time they stepped on his toe, he said, oh, you're forgiven. They stepped on it 35 more times, and 35 more times he said, oh, you're forgiven. And we don't want a president like that when we got bin Laden after us. We want him to say, hey, motherfucker, you step on my toe again, I'm going to cut your foot off. That's what kind of president we want. That's what Bush turned out to be, a ruthless, savage bastard. Kerry was Dukakis again. Mr. Kerry, if they raped and murdered your wife, well, depending on the situation at the time, you know, he'd come up with some 2,000-word answer about how you feel about your wife being murdered. The country, we're closing up here. The country was just plain nervous, they say, and the fear factor was a pillar of Bush's campaign. Well, you know, the fear factor was our issue, because Bush took paradise and turned it into hell. We had the fear factor. America, do you want more hell, or do you want to go back to the paradise that we had the day before Bush got here? But no, he refused to use it because that would be wrong, and we don't want to be like them. As Rosenberg put it, unseating a president in a time of crisis was obviously not an easy task. Bullshit, because the president fabricated the crisis. Come on. If you set your own house on fire, that doesn't make you a good dad. Oh, we got to stick with dad because he set the house on fire. Well, no, we got to get the hell away from this monster if he's going to set the damn house on fire. What's wrong with our party? We don't want to win. We can win. This is all, it's just handed to us. But it's like, you know, they knock on the door. We got a victory for Mr. Kerry. Oh, I ain't signing for that. We just won't accept victory when we have it. What's it going to take next year? You know, the minute they name the nominee next year, I can probably tell you if we're going to win or lose or not. With Kerry, you know, I didn't know much about Kerry. I don't guess any of you did. If you're, someone wrote to me real angry about, oh, Kerry's been my senator for 20 years and I know he's a great man. Yeah, yeah, well, maybe. I didn't know that. I knew who Kerry was, but I knew he was a war hero, et cetera, et cetera. But what did I know about Kerry? I don't follow Kerry's votes. But what's pretty certain, we need to run a Southern governor. Because between Carter and Clinton, that's the only two people we've been able to get into the White House in the last 30 years. Because if you get a senator from the North, oh, in 82, he voted for this. Well, yeah, 24 years ago, shit was different, you know? But at some point, we're going to have to run another candidate. And I hope we don't run another guy who wants to sleep through the first three-fourths of his candidacy. We need somebody who will agree to fight. Why the hell didn't we learn this in 2000? We saw Gore just lay there and take it for the whole campaign. And he had the same stiff non-delivery. You know, we don't need a smart guy with a stiff delivery. We need a snappy, fun guy like Clinton. Clinton, we had the bonus. He was a fun guy and he was a genius. Maybe Kerry's a genius too, but we'll never know because he didn't have enough fun in him. Nobody wanted to elect the guy. I guess I better get me a drink.
Cop Radio. Everybody's listening to it.